Bible, friends, is perhaps a book that you're not well acquainted with, perhaps maybe even not at all. Maybe you've never looked into its pages. Many people say to me, you know, the Bible says thus and thus, but of course, knowing it fairly well, I know it doesn't say thus and thus. And what they mean is something that they've picked up, something that they've heard from somebody else. And of course, they just pass it on. Well, can I suggest to you, maybe it's not a good thing to go and just hear say what somebody else tells you the Bible says, especially so if it's a life and death issue, especially so if heaven and hell hangs upon it, if you're standing before Almighty God and your eternal future hang upon what the Bible says. God is going to judge you by this book, then I suggest to you that you need to know a little bit more than what you hear somebody else tell you the Bible says. So I just want to give you an opportunity to look into its pages for yourself. It's the free offer of a copy and extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel. It gives you an overview, a summary, really, of what the entire Bible is about. And you'll find the very first words, the opening verse of Mark's Gospel, tells us it's the beginning of the Gospel, the good news, that is, about a person as opposed to a religion, a person, and his name is Jesus, and he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. So there, right from the get-go, you see, misunderstanding is shifted, not just another religion. You've got plenty of those to choose from if you wish to be religious. But if you want good news for bad people, if you want help in the midst of all the distresses of life that we face in the world as we walk through it, and of course, well, hope for the future beyond the grave, well, the good news of the Bible, that's your book. And so I offer a copy of Mark's Gospel to you. Read for yourself, come to your own conclusions about it if you will, but there in his pages you can learn about Jesus and the amazing, marvelous things that he did in rescuing people, for that's the reason why he came into the world. The Bible tells us not to make you religious, respectable, or anything else, but to rescue, to save men and women who are lost in sin. So Mark's Gospel, offered to you, as I say, free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. There's a point in the Bible where Jesus is counseling a man who came to him in a state of distress. And the words that Jesus spoke to him are so very relevant for you today. Yes, even in your modern, secular, irreligious and godless society. If you can, he says, if you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. It's faith, you see, faith in the good news, faith in the gospel. Thankfully, the gospel, the good news, is still God's power for salvation. It's able to do for you what your secular society, with all its cleverness, the philosophies of men, the mythology of evolution, and so on and so forth. An end-time philosophy, if ever there was one. But of course, for all the developments in your modern world and all your modern godless thinking, man is still left in this hopeless state and condition that he finds himself. He falls into a state of depression, and the only course left to him is that of suicide. And of course, Robin Williams is not the first, and he won't be the last to take his own life. Many, many people in your modern society and many young people in your modern society are doing exactly the same. Why? Well, because they've been raised by a set of parents, grandparents, and teachers who have left them devoid of any hope whatsoever. Utter and absolute despair. I recall talking to one young sixth former, very pleasant young man, but he had been indoctrinated all his life with Darwin's daftness, the theory of evolution. And we talked for some 45 minutes, up one side and down the other. In the end, I said to him, last thought that I could bring to his mind, he refuted everything, of course, that I said. And I said to him, but you're left with nothing but despair, utter and absolute despair and hopelessness. And he agreed with me. He said, yes, he said, you're right. He said, but that's all we've got. Nothing but despair and hopelessness. Well, if that's your belief, and let me remind you that everybody has a belief. Yeah? You say that there is no God. You can't prove that. That's just your theory. That's just your faith. That's just your religion. You can no more prove to me there is no God than I can concretely prove to you there is one. But of course, the evidence, well, you have to weigh it up on both sides. But of course, despair, hopelessness, well, that's the end of your Darwin and Dawkinism. Nothing but hopelessness. And of course, that's what leads people to take their own lives. When a person commits suicide, it's because they've lost all hope. There's no hope left for them in their own minds. Well, as I say, that's what you've indoctrinated the present generation with, your despair and hopelessness. But I want to tell you that the good news, the gospel that is, of Jesus Christ, is still God's power for salvation. Because men and women and young people, yes, the world over, are still finding the Bible to be God's truth and Jesus Christ to be a savior of sinners indeed. But of course, it's only the power of God for salvation to those who believe. Believe, that is, trust in Jesus Christ, who says that if you believe, all things are possible to the person who believes. Salvation, redemption, eternal life, hope beyond the grave, not just for this world, but for the world to come. You see, it's faith in Jesus Christ that it is the antidote to that despair. I'm told, I don't know just how true it is. There's a lot of stuff being bandied about, but I do believe that Robin Williams, prior to his suicide, attended a Baptist church for some weeks, doubtless a last resort looking for hope. Whether he found it or not, I have no idea, no way of telling. I have no idea as to what his eternal destiny was, has been. But I know this, that he was, in the end, if that's the case, looking in the right direction. But of course, men live in hopelessness and despair, that will continue to the end. Suffering will continue to the end. Why? Well, because of the fact of sin, the evil, the wickedness, the darkness that fills the world in which you live. Where does it come from? Well, it doesn't matter what kind of suffering you care to name, but if you honestly trace it back to its roots, it will take you back to the heart of man. It will take you back to that original sin, the first one that brought sin into the world. That's the source, that's the spring from which all suffering comes from. The starvation that you find in the world, God has provided plenty and enough for all of his creatures. Where does the starvation, the famine come from then, you see? It comes out of the hearts of greedy men who would rather store up the wheat and grain in warehouses to push up the market prices rather than feed starving people. It comes from the hearts of greedy, sinful men. Death itself, you see, the Bible tells us, came into the world as the result of one man's sin. Sin is the cause, the effect is suffering, is despair, hopelessness, and depression. All these things, you see, come out of the fountain of sin. Deal with the cause rather than the effects, and well, you might just get somewhere. But of course, all the time, we want rid of the effects. We don't want rid of the cause. Treat the effects. Doctor, 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 give me something to take away the effects. But never mind the cause, my sinful, wicked, unbelieving lifestyle. No, we like that too much. Don't talk about the cause. Talk about the effects. Get rid of the effects. I like my sexual immorality, but I don't like the effects of it. The disease that it brings. The breakup of family life. Marriage and kids without parents or a parent at least. You see, people, you want the real, truthful, honest to God answer. The cause needs to be dealt with. and there's only one thing that will attack, there is only one thing that will deal with the cause, the original sin that spreads to every one of us. Sinful parents get sinful children, and so it goes on through the generations and will do to the end, multiplying as it goes along. That's why you see the world not evolving, not developing, but degenerating, contrary to Darwin and Dawkins. Degenerating into a filthy cesspit of wickedness and evil until it fully organically develops, and God will be seen to be absolutely and utterly righteous in judging the world for its wickedness. But if you are to escape such judgment, if you're not to be rolled up with the rest of them and thrown into the fires of hell, well then you must needs escape. And there's only one way of escape that God has given to us. Jesus says, I am that way, the truth and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father, that is, no one is reconciled to God the Father, but by me, by Jesus. No other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved, the name of Jesus. Yeah, not Muhammad, not Allah, not Buddha, or any of your other favorite and unfavorite religions, but a person, and that person is God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to suffer, die, and rise again from the dead in order that people might be saved. There on the cross, if you look long and hard enough, and if you look in faith, you will see the bottomless abyss of God's love. That's what the Bible means when it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And what the Bible means when it teaches us that Christ so loved the world that he gave himself for ungodly sinners, sinners trapped, lost in sin, hopelessness and despair. The escape route, you see, is Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who says to you that if you believe, all things will be possible to you. God says, if you believe, you shall be saved, rescued from that sin, the cause, the deep, deep cause in your heart, the principle of sin that works in the hearts of every one of us, yourself and myself included. You do things that are wrong, and you know that it's wrong, but you still do it. You ever been in that place where you've asked yourself, why did I do that? I knew it was wrong, and I knew what the consequences would be. Almost as though you can't help yourself. But you can't, you see. You see, Jesus can do for you what Dawkins and Darwin and all your philosophers and your government can't do. Nobody else can do. Only one person, Jesus, who can save you from your sin and its full-blown and final consequences, the damnation of hell. So, you see, people, when Jesus says that if you can believe, faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Because he dealt with sin, that's why he came, not just to change people's lifestyle. We're not talking about a lifestyle option here. We're talking about salvation from a real, certain and known danger, that of sin that lies, that lurks in the hearts of every one of us. It is only faith in Jesus that will deal with that sin. But ask yourself, if you will, one or two questions when Jesus is presented, or rather offered to you. What does he mean if you can believe? Well, believing this, that he and he alone and nobody else can save you. Why? Well, because he is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Allah's not Lord. There is no such a person or thing. Muhammad is not Lord. Why? Because he's dead. Dead, buried, and gone to his own place. Jesus is Lord because he's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. Buddha's not dead, Lord either, because he's dead as well. Adolf Hitler's not Lord because he's dead, buried, and gone to hell too. Jesus is Lord. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, he says, following his resurrection. And so therefore he and he alone and no other can save you, rescue you from sin and its consequences. So when he says to you, if you can believe, that is, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is indeed Lord, you shall be saved. Something else that he would mean, of course, would be that he alone has the ability to save you. Well, were you to read Mark's Gospel, well, you would see some of the amazing things that Jesus did, that he performed as he walked upon this earth. You'll find him doing things like giving eyesight to the blind, and even his enemies said, no man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did. That was the testimony of his crucifier. You'll find him blowing away disease with the word of command, delivering people from the powers of darkness. You'll find him raising the dead, and himself raised from the dead. So ability to do what your philosophers, religious gurus, what your counselors, social workers, and psychos can't do for you. They can't lift the gloom and despair. They can't take the depression from you and give you hope and life. But Jesus can, because he is Lord. And then, of course, Jesus means believing, trusting, that is, that he is willing to save you, rescue you. You say to me, well, how do you know that he's willing to rescue me? I know because the Bible tells me so. I know, people, because I read the Bible and I see him, the Son of God, weeping over obdurate, hard-hearted sinners who refuse, reject the salvation, the rescue that he offers them. I see, as I gaze upon the cross of Calvary, I see the willingness of Jesus to save the world. I hear the resounding voice of God, trembling from heaven, telling me that he so loved the world of sinners that he was willing to give his only son up to the death of the cross. And then, of course, well, some people have said before, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for people like you and I. It was an evidence, it was people, the outworking of love, that Christ died for sinners, came out of the heart of a God of love, who hates evil but loves sinful men and women who, because of their sin, are under his wrath and curse. He goes to these awesome and great lengths to send his own son into the world, that through him that the world might be saved. So you see, it's believing that Jesus is willing, more willing to save you than you are to be saved, or to trust in him. But people, it's done. He cried from the cross his final, his closing words: it is finished, a done deal, as you would say. He has accomplished everything that was necessary to be done, and all that's left for the sinner to do, for you to do, is to believe, is to trust, is to forsake yourself, give over trying to save yourself, trying to be good, because that doesn't work either. Isn't it true? The harder you try to be good, the worse it becomes. This is not middle class religion for middle class Englanders. Oh, it's for them too. But what I mean is, this is good news for bad people. This is good news for people who find that they can't be good. For the life of them, they can't be good. They try to make their marriages work, try to make their children good. Oh, they try to be good work colleagues, good citizens, but for the life of them, they cannot. Because within their hearts is this principle of sin that works out of them and can do no other. Until the tide is stemmed, until the blood of Jesus Christ quenches that principle of sin. Now, you see, people, trusting in Jesus, trusting in the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to save bad people, not good people. If you're good, if you have no sin, well, then I guess this is not for you. But if you, like the rest of the human race, if you're a sinner, if you've come short of God's glory, if you don't come up to the mark, then people, this is good news for you. Good news because it saves, it rescues, it does what nobody else can do. And the consequence of embracing the good news, receiving Jesus, the consequence is the opposite to the despair and depression that leads to suicide. It's joy, it's hope, abounding joy. Joy that no man can take away from you, Jesus says, even if the circumstances are bad. No, people. Joy, hope, peace, life I came, that they might have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus says. So, you see, people, there is the gospel, there is God's power for salvation, God's love for sinners, God's hope for those who have no hope, for those in despair. If only you would reach out in faith, the hand of faith, and receive Jesus, receive the Son of God. As many as received Him, people, receive the right to become children of God. To as many, that is, that believe. The gospel is the power of God yet for salvation. It is England, it is the United Kingdom's only hope. It is the gospel that saved this nation many, many times before, but has been discarded for human, vain, empty philosophy of such as Darwin and Dawkins. The gospel saved this nation many times. The gospel that transformed this nation and made it Great Britain once, but now no longer great. Because now no longer believing, no longer receiving God's salvation. Sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into sin until the judgment of God finally and fully falls upon you. Will you leave it until it's too late? The judgment of God. What form will that take upon your nation? I have no idea. I have certain inclinations. I think that God has raised up Islam as a sort of judgment in these last days. And I think that sword will fall upon the entire Western world, including Europe, including the United Kingdom. You see, you wouldn't have the God of love. You wouldn't have the God of grace. You wouldn't have the truth. You exchange the truth for a lie. So there's nothing left but the false. There's nothing left but the judgment of God for you. You've gone back. You've trusted in man instead of trusting in God. Well, if you can believe, there's time. It's still a day of grace. There's time yet to be saved. If you can, Jesus says, all things are possible, even your salvation is possible to the one who believes. Believing, trusting, receiving, taking Jesus to be your one and only Savior and Lord. Here in Mark's Gospel, offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. You can receive God's Word today. All you have to do is take it out of my hand. But then, of course, you could do better than that. You could ignore the scoffers and mockers around you. And in the quiet recesses of your own heart, you could ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You could call upon His name. For the Bible also says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation from the penalty of sin, death, and the power of sin, and the presence of sin that permeates your world. your families, your own hearts and life. So take Jesus, but take his word if you will, read and see first-hand knowledge, the truth that is able to make you free. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? Come and ask for one before I go. God bless you and have mercy upon your souls.